Barbara, thank you for reading that so nicely. You know, as I was looking up, I had not noticed my nephew and niece are here, Mark and Maria, and it's so good to see you this morning. I used to terrorize him when he was small, so I'm asking you for your forgiveness, Mark. You know, a couple of things. I appreciate what people do for this church. I don't know you all yet, but I know Eleanor. You worked so hard to set up the communion and the baptism. I thank you for that. And I also understand, I saw in the bulletin here that there are altar flowers given to the glory of God, but also to thank Lenny Pearson. I assume she does a lot for the church. Is Lenny here this morning? Where is she? No, she's saying, don't do that. We love you, Lenny. I see that. I want to ask you a question this morning. I always like to start off my sermons with a question. Have you ever been sent out by someone to do something? Like an errand, a mission, something like that? Well, my wife made three mistakes. She's probably going to kill me for saying this. But the first mistake she made, she sent me food shopping. That's a mistake. The second mistake she made, she assumed and she believed me when I said I got it, when she told me to write it all down. And the list was humongous. Bread, eggs, oatmeal, blueberries, it just went on. And I kept saying to her, I got this. Her third mistake is she sent me to Costco. And when I came home, the stuff that you need to sustain life, I forgot half of it, the food items. But I came back with a flat screen TV, two books that were 40% off, the latest Star Wars DVD and HD, I had to get that, and a dozen pair of gym socks. Needless to say, she wasn't impressed. I got sent back, and I got it right the second time because she wrote the list down for me. But I want to tell you what Barbara just read. I could tell you Jesus was not sending out the 72 to Costco to do food shopping. This scripture passage, he was sending them out into their communities for the purpose of spreading a message of hope. And that's what this is all about. In fact, George will remember this, and my wife, when we were at annual conference this year at Hofstra, Bishop Jane Allen Middleton, she kept emphasizing the theme of the conference. And the theme of the conference was go and make disciples. And she would often stop the conference and say, go, go, and we'd all have to yell back at her, go. After a while, I said, go already, it's enough, I know, I'm going. But she meant get out into your community and bring a message of hope to the people beyond the walls of the church. Friends, if you go back to chapter 9, which is the previous chapter from which Barbara read, you'll notice that Jesus originally sent out the 12, and then he multiplies that six times for a total of 72 because he needed more workers to reach more people in the world. And Jesus has been multiplying the numbers ever since. And if you look around, it's us. You know, once I gleaned this passage this morning, friends, I got to share personally with you. I realized ministry is not a lone ranger business. We don't do it alone. Why? Because Jesus sent them out not in a singular fashion, but he sent them out in pairs. The Bible says two by two. You know what that says for me, even as a pastor, that I am not in this mission, I am not in this ministry, I am not in this work of the church alone, but I have a church family to walk with me in this most noble effort of reaching our world with the hope of Jesus Christ. And he says to them, listen to this, the harvest is plentiful. And friends, you know, I've been living in Bellport now full-time for 4 years, and all of my business and transactions, everything I do is really in Patchogue. And I have seen a transformation of this town like I've never seen. I remember Sweezy with the squeaky floors. You remember that? I used to bring my mother there for shopping. And you'd walk through and you could hear the floors creaking. And I miss Sweezy's, actually. But you could see what happened to this community. And I just want to say to you that Jesus is saying to us, the harvest out there is plentiful. And we thank God for that. Because I'll tell you why. People are looking for a purpose in their life bigger than a promotion, bigger than an elevation in their corporation. They're looking for something beyond that. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for truth. They're looking for a purpose. They're looking for connectedness. They're looking for peace in their lives. Is there anybody here you reject peace in your life? Huh? Don't we all want peace? Amen. I know I do. And we as the church have a message that could bring our world peace. And Lord knows we need peace more today than any other time, I think, in our history. The world is upside down, and we have a message. The world out there is looking for answers. They're looking for peace. They're looking for wholeness. I know, because I'm searching for peace and wholeness. That's what I want in my life. We possess a message that brings hope, friends, to the hopeless, that brings light into darkness, that brings calm in the midst of the storms that we walk through. Has anyone ever walked through a storm? Yeah, I'm not talking about a hurricane. I'm talking about the storms of life. Has anyone here ever been challenged? Yeah, of course we all have, except maybe not the babies, but they might have a dirty diaper. That's a challenge. We have a message of peace in the midst of troubled waters. It's a message that heals the brokenhearted, that calms one's greatest fears, that guides a person through the valley of despair. Friends, we got a message to share in this community. I could assure you of that. You know, the folks in Sayville might remember this a number of years ago, and I was reminded of this just about a couple of weeks ago. I met Al Gross down at Land's End. We were both down there enjoying breakfast together. He said, do you remember the story about the little red church across the street from the Getty Station? Friends, what happened on this particular Sunday, unbeknownst to us, it was so hot, we had to open the side doors where the choir was in the chancel so we can get a cross breeze. And I don't know what I preached that day, but I hope I preached a message of hope. Victory. The choir sang their hearts out. 2 weeks later, I got a letter, and it was addressed to the little red church across from the Getty Station. Now, that Getty Station is gone. It's a Dunkin' Donuts now. And what he said in that letter was this. I'll summarize it. He said, I was traveling out to the east end of Long Island to take my life. I lost my business. My wife left me. And there was no reason to live, and I don't know why I stopped in Sayville, but I did, and I sat on the stoop outside that door, and I listened to the message, and I heard the choir sing and the great hymns, and it reminded me of the faith of my youth. And he said, I realized that I need to live because Christ who lives in me. I get the chills just thinking about that. Now, friends, I want to tell you, it was more than a human effort. It was the power of the gospel message of hope in the midst of that man's hopelessness. I want to encourage you today. We have hope in Christ. And he commissions us with authority to bring that message out into our world. What a privilege. When we make Christ the Lord and Savior of our life, when we have that personal relationship with him, I'm not talking about some marginal relationship. I'm talking about where Christ is the center of our lives, and we pursue the life of a disciple, a student, a follower of his. We are enabled to be his witnesses, his ambassadors in the world. Did you know the name, the word witness in the New Testament Greek is martis? Which is, I got an amen over there. You see that? Martis, from which we get the word martyr, which means that we are willing to lay down our lives for the cause of something that's bigger than ourselves. Now, in this country, we may never have to give up our lives for our faith. But I'll tell you what the Bible does tell us to do. Give up our old man and give up our old woman and take on the new creation in Jesus Christ. You ever experienced that? I hope we all have. And that's why Paul the Apostle, that's why he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, and the old man and the old woman is gone, and the new has come. Are you a new creation in Christ? I'll tell you, my life has never been the same since I committed my life to Jesus. I don't say that in a braggadocious way. I say that in a way of gratitude. Because that old man that I once lived is gone, dead, removed, and no longer around. And to that I say amen. That's what happened to that man who wrote to us, the Little Red Church across the street from the Getty Station. He had a transformation that turned his life around. And instead of taking his life, he took on a new life. And I pray to this very day he's doing well. You see, because I want to tell you, friends, it's more than religion. I don't like to tell people I'm religious. I like to tell people I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship. Up front and close and personal. So when he sends out those 72 disciples, they not only went out in the authority of his name, they went out because they personally knew who sent them. Just like I personally knew my wife who sent me to Costco. They did a better job than I did, I can tell you that. You know, there are many gifts, friends, that we have. Spiritual gifts. Hospitality. There's a gazillion gifts that we could have. But I'll tell you the one gift that we all have. And that is the gift of being able to be a witness for Jesus Christ into our broken world. My wife and I were at a diner. And this waitress was discombobulated. She was bringing food to the wrong table. She forgot to bring us our drinks. And my wife is very discerning. And she looked up at the waitress and she said, are you okay? And she was startled. She says, what do you mean? I feel like you're burdened. The waitress forgot she was working. She sat down with us. Told us our whole story. And she was burdened. Single mom, working two jobs. Bless her heart. My wife prayed for her. The mascara was running down her face. And we encouraged her to get involved in a local church and bring your children there, and I promise you things will get better. You see, there was an opportunity to be that ambassador in that diner, just to take the time to be his witness. He says in Acts chapter 1, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit who will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Notice where he starts. He started where he was, Jerusalem. And we need to start where we are, Patchogue, Long Island, right here, to be that witness. Why? Friends, we go out with the character of Christ. We go out with his character of love, grace, mercy, compassion, caring, sympathy, empathy. We go out where the hands, the eyes, the arms, the feet of Jesus, every time we step out, and also, might I add, even in our own families and homes. You know, some of you may recount the call of Peter and John when they were going up to the temple for prayer, and there was a man outside the doors of the temple begging for money. And Peter says, listen, I'm going to paraphrase it. I've got no cash, but what I have is far greater than money. And they loved on this guy, and they prayed for him, and they healed him. And that was powerful through the love of Christ. You see, friends, I can't tell you how many people think that if they just get some more money and more possessions, they'll be happy. And I promise you that more money will not make you happy. There's nothing wrong with having money. Don't get me wrong. It's great to have money, right? But we don't pursue it for happiness because it won't deliver happiness in and of itself. What people are looking for is peace, and they're looking for security in their lives. Folks, you can't go to the Smith Haven Mall and buy peace. I tried. I looked all over. Okay, a Starbucks coffee, maybe. And it only lasts for like 10 minutes. But everlasting peace can only be given to us through the Prince of Peace. And you all know who that is. That's Jesus the Christ. I believe the purpose of sending out those 72 people was to send them out to meet the deeper needs of their communities that people were neglecting in that day and age. He wanted them to realize that life was beyond just themselves and serving themselves, but they were created to serve others. And that's what we were created for. Many of you know that I'm a retired police officer. And I won't pat anybody down this morning, so relax. But many years ago when I was a plainclothes sergeant in Midtown South, I don't tell a lot of police stories, so you're not going to hear them from up here. But this is a good story. I get a call by my precinct commander. He tells me, you got to come in. We got two high-profile businessmen the police commissioner just sent down, and he wants you to take them around Midtown and show them what police work is like. And one of the guys was Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's. And as I'm driving him around, I realize this guy is a devout Christian who loves Jesus Christ. So when we were done with the tour, he says, Sergeant, you know what? I'd love to treat you, your wife, and your kids. I have part ownership in a restaurant on the east side of Manhattan, and I'd like for you to come and have lunch with me. And so the next day, which was a Saturday, we went and had lunch with Dave Thomas. And I realized how much this guy loved Jesus Christ. So later on, I bought his book, which is well done. I want to read a little snippet from his book. He says, "Roll up Christians see Christianity as faith in action. They still make time to talk with God through prayer, to study of Scripture, by being super active in their churches, and by taking their ministry to others by spreading the good news." Folks, that's the reason why we're in business here in Patchogue. Bringing the message out and spreading the good news. And that's what Dave Thomas said. It's more than speaking words. It's more than just preaching and teaching. It's about touching and changing lives. It's about getting out into our world and making a difference to others. I end with this. A woman just 3 weeks ago, a month ago, she said to me, Pastor, does God really care? She said, does God care about people who are hurting? Does God care about people who are downtrodden and depressed? Does God care about lonely people that are crying out for companionship? Does God care about struggling people who are in broken and strained relationships, in their families, in their marriages? Does God care about the sick? And I said to her, yes, God does care, because God has a heart for people. For God so loved the world, that means you and me, that he gave his only son. And he says, I want you to take that message out into your world to let them know that you embody that love and that message. And the only love that they'll ever see, the only message, the only Christ they'll ever see is through you. And so take that mission out into your community. I want to just say that I know that the Wesley dinners, you guys are doing that the last Thursday every month. I haven't been to one yet. But you get to people through their stomachs first, and then you get them to feel and know the love of Christ next. You fill their stomachs, and then you fill their spirit. And I encourage you, keep up the good work, Patchogue United Methodist Church. Why? We have a message that heals the brokenhearted, that calms fears, that removes doubt and confusion. We have a message that guides people through troubled waters. We have a message that encourages people when they're drowning in the ocean of discouragement. Jesus has given us this wonderful and remarkable message to deliver out there, wherever there is, and for us, it's Patchogue and beyond. Friends, the scripture says the 72 returned. And it says they returned with great joy because as they brought that message, they saw fruit of their work. And I just want to say that it's not about growing a church. It's about investing in and growing people. And when we invest in people's lives and we help grow them, the church will grow. You believe that? I do. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you that you've given us this mission of hope, that because of this message that we have, the world doesn't have it, but we have it, that you would use us in a powerful way to help people find wholeness and victory and peace and hope and healing and transformation, so that we will continue to hear testimonies like the Little Red Church across from the Getty Station. And we thank you that you've chosen us. In spite of ourselves, you have called us to be ambassadors, for which we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.